Peace, man. I apologize. I forgot to say something Pam had asked me to mention a while ago, but she needs a driver and a truck to pull the float in the parade. So if anybody's interested and would like to do that, please see Pam. No breakfast Sunday after next. Children's church is dismissed. I'm sorry. Okay, Pastor Ralph is not here. So I reckon everybody is down and just not excited about being here, right? If you're excited about being here today, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. I'm excited about being here as well. Thank the Lord for an opportunity to come again and speak. I tell you, it's just amazing. I just can't thank the Lord enough. I've had opportunities now continually to fill in for pastors in the community, and it's just been an awesome opportunity. And I take every opportunity I can, first and foremost, to speak for Jesus Christ. But when I get to stand in front of my home crowd, it's just good, because I really enjoy being here at Great Swamp Baptist Church. It's an awesome group of people. Amen? Come on. Amen? All right, y'all, I want to hear a few amens now. Y'all going to have to bear with me this morning, because I got two areas in the Bible we're going to read scripture from. First one comes from John chapter 6. And we're going to do things a little different this morning. The pastor usually does the Lord's Supper at the beginning. I've chosen to do it at the end because I got a message I want to bring to you that I really think that it is something that has touched my life going through it and preparing. And I want it to be something that we all take away from here today and utilize it in our own lives. I've entitled it, Come to the Table. Come to the Table. What happened this past Thursday? Thanksgiving. We ate dinner. We ate a lot of food, right? What's the one thing that we couldn't wait to hear? Come to the table. Okay? It's ready. Come to the table. Well, this morning, Jesus has set the table and is inviting us to come to the table. In John chapter 6, verse 27, we're gonna skip down to verse 41 is where I'm going to start reading. But Jesus is speaking to a group which followed him because he just fed them. And this is talking about the what? 5,000, right? He used the loaf, the bread and the fish to feed. He points out the fact that there are better reasons to follow him than just a temporary fill. And in these verses, you'll see what we're talking about. Chapter 6, starting in verse 30. Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Verse 39, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, and I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Amen. In these verses, we see that Jesus has fed a number of people. And what are they looking for? What are they wanting? They're wanting more from him. They're wanting more. They're wanting him to give them more. The miracle. Verse 31, it says, Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They wanted the Lord to top that miracle. They wanted him to do more. Verse 32 and 33, Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Listen, the mouths of these people were watering. They wanted more food. They weren't happy with what they had. They wanted him to give more. They were saying, Don't tease us. When will this bread come? Not knowing that it was there already. Look at verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Is it here? You're looking at it. He wanted them to understand that he was the bread of life. And I'm bringing this to you today. He wants you to understand that he is the bread of life. They said sadly, Really? What a letdown they felt. They didn't understand that he was there for them to give them life. Verse 41 and 42. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Listen, they weren't thrilled about him coming down. They were looking for more miracles. They were looking for more food. They were looking for more than what he had physically standing in front of them. They wanted more. They weren't getting the picture of what Jesus was offering, the bread of life, life eternal. But we must understand what we are here for today. Look at verse 48 and through 51. It says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Did Jesus Christ just die for one person? He would have. But he died for the whole world. He was here. He was here then to give them life and to give it to them more abundantly. But they didn't understand. Jesus announces the main course, and it was him. It was him. It's a spiritual analogy, but they just didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was trying to give to them. And then look at verse 52. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, if somebody in somewhere else read this out of the Bible, what would they think? Ma'am, what are these people doing? But it's not cannibalism Jesus is advocating. It's Christianity. Realizing his body and his blood are the real spiritual sustenance that will sustain a Christian life. This bread that he offers will sustain a Christian life. And then finally, in verse 53 through 58, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Understand that this bread that we're talking about is not the physical. It's not going to satisfy us physically. It is spiritual food. It's what's going to satisfy us spiritually. And spiritually speaking, it is the best table that you'll ever eat from. Jesus Christ is the best thing that you will ever have. In Psalms 34 and 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trust in him. Listen, bread sustains life. How many of us ate this weekend? And I know I can say I did. What do you say? I can't tell you that. But we had a good day. And I trusted everyone did. But we ate. And bread sustains life. But this bread that Jesus is talking about will sustain everlasting life. It's here for us to take. And his body and bread is here to sustain life. So we must trust in the sacrifice made by that broken body of Jesus Christ. Listen, we must trust that it's for us. And then if we look back in the Old Testament farther, Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you. upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. How many of you feel like you could live without blood in your body? Blood is pretty much the factor that keeps you rolling. So without blood, there is no life. Blood is life. And when Jesus' blood was shed, his life was being poured out, and all who kneel at the foot of the cross receive that life in a sin cleansing, life giving bath. Are you washed in that blood today? Are you washed in that blood today? They didn't get it in Jesus' day, but I trust that we all get it today. What is Jesus Christ for? What did he shed his body and his blood for? It's not really about eating the flesh and drinking the blood. Jesus has brought these elements today, the bread and the juice, as a symbolic sign of his body and his blood. There's no saving power in these elements. No one that partakes of this today is going to be saved by just taking of the body and the blood. There's only one way to be saved, and that's asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. This time is for a remembrance. This is for those who have been saved, and a time to remember what Jesus Christ did on that cross for each and every one of us. Now, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 17, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. I know there's a lot of verses to read, but I want you to understand why we're here today. We're here to partake of the Lord's Supper, and there are several things that I want you to see as we come to the table. First, before we sit down, we must have clean hands. How many of you go outside and work in the yard? How many of you work in a garage? How many of you do something to get your hands dirty? And when you hear that call come to the table, what do? You run inside, you grab your chair, you pull out, you sit down, and you start eating, right? No. What do? You go and wash up first, right? This is why the Bible tells us to examine our lives before we take communion. We should examine our lives before we take communion. In verse 27 and 28 of chapter 11, we see that. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. When we examine our lives, what are we looking for? Unconfessed sins, things that are not right in our lives, things that we know that are there, but we haven't corrected them. We haven't taken the time to let Jesus Christ into our lives and remove that from us because we've not gone to him. It's just like moving to the table. We need to wash before we go to the table. And it's the same thing with Jesus Christ. We need to make sure we're clean. How many of you have, when you were kids, your parents told you, off to bed, no supper for you tonight? Nobody in here has ever done that, right? Going to bed hungry? I'm sure there were many that did. Why? Because something they did was not right. It was bad. When we come to Jesus' table, we need to come with remorse and repentance. When we had to go to our bed, eventually we would come back out and say, what? I'm sorry. That's what Jesus wants to hear from us. I'm sorry. When we repent of our sins, we find forgiveness, restoration, and an invitation to the table. Some people today get so burdened down with sin that as they sit in this room, and they see the Lord's Supper sitting in front. I can't partake of it. I'm a Christian, but I am so unworthy. Listen, we're all unworthy. We were born sinners. We are sinners, and we will be sinners until the end. We're unworthy, but guess what? By that blood of Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy that he's given us, we're eligible to come to the table. Amen? All right, y'all liven up. He invites us and authorizes us to come to the table. But he wants us to come with clean hands. Secondly, where'd the drink go? First, you have to have clean hands. Second, when you come, before dining, we need good appetite. We need a good appetite. How many of you have been invited to someone's house to eat before? And before you went there, you said, well, I got to have a little snack. So you grab a bag of potato chips, and you grab a Coca-Cola or two, maybe a couple of Twinkies, and you fill up on some junk food. So when you pull up to that neighbor's house or that friend's house, and you sit down, and it's like, I'm full. I can't eat. What happens? You filled up on the junk food. You have little appetite for the good stuff. Paul tells us you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You can't have it both ways. The Bible says you're either hot or you're cold. You can't be lukewarm. You can't have a part of both the Lord's table and the table of demons. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 10:21. God offers a substantive meal, a bread and a cup. Won't fill us up physically. It won't fill us up physically, but they will satisfy our spiritual hunger. Listen, when we stuff ourselves full with the junk food of sin, we lose our appetite for a banquet that God has prepared for us. When our lives are full of sin, we can't see what God has for us. All we can think about is what's best for us. We need to get that sin out of our lives. We need to come to the table with an appetite. And it says again in Psalms 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Dr. Leroy Creasy of Cornell University has identified a chemical in grapes that reduces the risk of heart disease. He reports in the Journal of Applied Cardiology that grape juice lowers cholesterol and cleanses the heart of life-threatening impurities. I'm going to stop by the grocery store on the way home. Listen, at the Lord's table, grape juice represents the blood of Christ, which cleanses our spiritual heart of sin's deadly effects. It's not about what's in these little cups. It's not about the taste of it. It's not saying it's blood. We need to remember that what God did was shed his blood for each one of us, so that that blood would cleanse our hearts of that sin that's buried deep down inside, that we have to let go of. We have to let go of. We are in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We are exposed to sin, but with God's help, we can resist temptation. In Matthew 5 and 6, Jesus promises, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Not might be filled. It says they will be filled. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, you'll have a filling that you'll never have felt before. You still get physically hungry. I ate breakfast this morning, and I'll be hungry before I leave here. So you can't really get physically full. But spiritually, what God is wanting us to take from this today is what he's put on this table. It's bread, it's juice, it's the body, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. We can be spiritually filled today. So many people live lives that are empty. So many people leave out of a church after hearing a message and are still empty. I challenge you today to take what you hear, not because I'm up here speaking it, but because Jesus Christ has passed it on to you. I challenge you today to take what you hear. You have to clean your hands. You have to have a good appetite when you come to his table. But so many people leave out of here empty because they're not coming in expecting anything. They go day to day without much purpose or meaning. And they, when they reach the end, they wonder what the point was in living. They are starving spiritually. But listen, Jesus is what we're truly hungry for. And the good news is, he's inviting us to the table. He's inviting us to the table. Third, when we're dining, we also need patience. And a lot of times when we come to church, we don't have much patience. We sit down and we start listening. And by the time 12 o'clock comes, which is now, the mind has already left. We have to have patience to hear what God has for us. We have to sit and be attentive to what he has that he's given to the man of God that stands before you. Again, not because I'm here, but because God is here. We're here to listen. Be patient. We live in a fast food world, even at home. Many families don't sit down at the table any longer and just enjoy meals together. I know so many times when we come in, and it's not much during the day, but during nighttime when we have a meal, Deborah and Catherine and Michael and I sit down when Michael's home from work. We'll sit down and we'll enjoy a meal together. We don't sit at the table, but we sit at the bar. But we have ability to talk and converse about today and what the day was all about. But what is today? What is this world today? It's all about fast. Fast food. Fast everything. You can order on the internet today and it'll be at your doorstep tomorrow. You can walk into a fast food restaurant and most of them have chairs and tables that are bolted or either locked into the concrete. That's because they want you to come in, get your food, sit down, eat, and get out and wait for the next customer to come in. It's a fast-paced world. We don't have patience. When we come to the Lord's table, our spiritual meal should be the focus of why we're here. Listen, when we come to the Lord's table, our spiritual meal should be the focus of why we're here. We're not here just to get tickled on the ears and run out the door. We're here to accept and receive what Jesus Christ has for us. So many times when we get to be a part of the service where we partake of the Lord's Supper, time is running out and we rush through it. And I know many of you are thinking that same thing here this morning. But listen, Jesus Christ died on that cross, a cruel, agonizing death. What is it going to hurt us to listen and be attentive to what Christ has got for us today? Let's slow down and receive what Jesus has for us. Then fourth, we also need harmony. We need harmony at the meal table. Many times families go to the table and they sit down and start eating. And they start talking and conversation starts going south. It starts to get controversial. They start talking about political things and political differences. And all of a sudden there's an argument. I know that never happens here. Nobody ever talks about politics. But so many times there's disharmony in the family. And we don't want that here in the church. Not everyone shared the same viewpoint, and the enjoyment of the meal got ruined as they began to argue. Listen, we can't expect everyone in the congregation to agree on every issue. We can't expect that. But what we are expected to do is to get along. You don't have to agree with everything, but God has called us to get along. If you've got a problem, get it straight. If you don't like Wilbur, come to Wilbur and tell him. Don't pick up the phone and call the next door neighbor and say, guess what Wilbur's done? He's held us till 12:30 today or 1 o'clock. Don't call somebody else. Call Wilbur and say, you know what? I didn't appreciate that. We're here for God for one purpose. And if you can't come to me and tell me that that's the problem, that's going to be a problem. Not in my life, because I don't know. It'll be in your life. You have to get right with God. There has to be harmony. 1 Corinthians 10:17, Paul makes the point of saying, we are one body and we partake of the one bread. Conflict, tension, disharmony can ruin a perfectly good meal. And that's not what I want to see today. One thing we don't bring to the table is divisiveness. I can't even say it. Division. We don't have to agree on absolutely everything, but we need to focus on one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. What unites us is greater than what divides us. Satan has been defeated, people. Jesus Christ is on the throne, and he is greater than what comes against us. Number five, I got two more after this, I promise. We need gratefulness for this meal. How many of you have seen on, I just noticed it on an apron, that it says, kiss the cook. Kiss the cook. Those who prepare meals appreciate being told that people enjoy their meal. You know, when Timmy and Robert and I come out in the morning, it is good to hear somebody say, man, that breakfast was good this morning. Unfortunately, I know so well because I eat it all myself. But it was good. But it's good to hear when you do something for somebody to say, I appreciate that. Listen, when we come to the Lord's table, we need to eat with gratitude. We don't need to come in and take this today for granted. There was a reason that blood was shed and that body was torn. God provided manna, miracle, miraculous food to the Jewish nation in the wilderness, and all they did was complain. All they did was complain. We need to appreciate the cost of the meal. Now we look at it today and we see the bright silver. We see the juice and we see the bread. But do you really realize what the cost of this supper was? Do you really realize the cost? Jesus Christ gave his life for us. We should appreciate how our deacons take the time to prepare it and to serve it to each one of us. Even more, we should appreciate the sacrifice of our Savior. Otherwise, we miss the whole point of this meal. And then sixth, we also need to come to God's table with loyalty. With loyalty. We avoid competition. If our family owned a restaurant, we would come frequently, tell others about it, and you probably wouldn't eat anywhere else. Well, I know we could get good food if I knew somebody that had a restaurant in my family. Well, and I do. Paul is talking about how people try to eat at the devil's table, yet also come to God's table. Listen, we have to be loyal to one person, and that's Jesus Christ. Satan will make everything look so good, but realize there's only one person that is the head of our life, and that's Jesus Christ. We serve a jealous God, 1 Corinthians 10:22, who will not be replaced with substitutes. He demands our undivided loyalty. Listen, the Christians of Corinth were tempted to revert to their idolatrous practices of their former lives. But our partaking of communion indicates that we are undivided in our commitment to Jesus Christ. He is top priority. He has preeminence in our lives. We should bring loyalty to the table today. And then finally, we need to leave the supper table with purpose. We need to leave this table today with purpose. This is a spiritual nourishment and strength for us. But strength for what? Strength for what? God would have us to be energized for a purpose. When we partake of this food today, it's not going to satisfy us physically, but spiritually we're going to be fed and we're going to be energized through Jesus Christ. We're to take this and we're to go out with a purpose and be on fire for Jesus Christ. Amen? But many Christians are content to sit back and get spiritually fat. They'll take in what they hear, but never utilize it anywhere else. We need to be about the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be on fire for Jesus Christ. How many times do we get excited about sporting events? And our pastor is a race fanatic. How many of you get excited about going shopping? And boy, is it the shopping season now. How many went out on Black Friday? Not me. But how many times do we get excited about all kind of other things, but when we come in here, it's like nobody's moving, nobody's saying anything, nobody's smiling. It's unreal. We need to be excited about Jesus Christ. We need to have a purpose when we leave this building today. This bread and this blood was shed for us. He gave his life. Why do we not have a purpose when we leave here? Just think, if we got excited about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, look at the things we could get accomplished. We would be running with a purpose. We would be running with a purpose. The best food and drink we could ever partake of is on the table. And we are inviting you to come today and partake. Let's make sure we come with the right stuff, the right attitudes, the right spirit. Let's be prepared to leave, to prove and demonstrate the real spiritual strength and health we have by the way we serve and work for our Lord Jesus Christ. This food today is here to help us grow spiritually. One little piece of bread and one little cup of juice is not going to satisfy our physical being, but it should satisfy our spiritual being. If we have clean hands, we should be prepared to take the Lord's Supper. This morning, as we prepare and we get ready for the Lord's Supper, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I challenge you today to take this time and accept Him, to bring Him into your life. Let Him take control of your life. If you're here today and you do know Jesus Christ, but you've backslidden and you have things in your life that you need to get right, today is that day. Now is that time. We're going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ can pray that prayer and accept Him into your life. After that, Brother Richard's going to come and play just a small tune for us, and we're going to have a short invitation. If you need to come to the altar and you need to pray and ask God to forgive you, ask God to cleanse your life, I challenge you today to do that. Let's pray. Father, as we come today, as we close this message, but Father, we go in to take the Lord's Supper. I ask, Lord Jesus, that if there be anyone here today that doesn't know You, that, Father, You would burden their hearts, that somehow, some way, before they leave this building, Father, Your touching Spirit would come upon them. And, Father, they would accept You as their personal Lord and Savior. And, Father, that we, as Christians, need to get our lives right before we partake of this meal. Father, thank You for what You're going to do for us. And Father, thank You for what You've already done for us by shedding Your blood and giving Your body so that we can have salvation. Father, we thank You and we praise You. In Your holy and precious Son's name, amen. Now's the time to come. Bow your heads and let's pray. This mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on a cross, that He might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, amen. Jesus said these elements before us today are symbolic of His body and His blood. There are no saving powers in this, in the bread nor the juice. Nobody that partakes of it will be saved by just partaking. If you need Jesus Christ, there's only one way, and that's to ask Him to come into your life. This is a time of remembrance. We now come to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, given to celebrate in memory of the broken body and the shed blood. If our deacons will come. It is said that on the night before he was betrayed, at the conclusion of the feast of the Passover, which he and his disciples were celebrating, he took bread and, having blessed it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Brother Dwayne.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the body you sacrificed for us. Father, how unworthy we are to even partake or even call ourselves your child. But Father, we know you've done it in love. You've done it for us so that we could be justified in front of you, in front of the Father. Father, thank you so much for the sacrifice you made for us.
Amen. In John 6:58, it says, "This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." On the same night of the Lord, our Lord took the cup, and having blessed it, gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the blood which was shed for you." Brother Fred, would you pray?
Father, we just thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your blood. We thank you that your blood covers our sin.
Yes.
And that way we can go to the Father. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And again, according to the law, I may also say, all things are cleansed with the blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped and said, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. May God bless you, and each time you come to the table, may it have true meaning to you in your life. Let's close in prayer. Father God, how wonderful it is to be here today, Lord, and to be thankful to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper. Father, I thank you for giving your life, for the shedding of your blood and your body being torn. Father, you sacrificed and gave it all for us so that we may have salvation. Father, go with us today. Keep us safe. And Father, bring us back at the next appointed time, Lord. In your holy and precious Son's name we pray. Amen. Well.